What shall we sing now, Paul? Really helps to ease the pain.
What?
My back still stings from that whipping.
Here. Try leaning against me. Perhaps that'll help.
I can't move much with our feet in these stocks. Ow!
Oh, that hurts to move.
Can't see a thing in this dungeon either.
No.
Would help if we could get a drink of water instead of just having it drip on us.
Yes.
Hey, you two all right? You quit singing.
Who would sing where they are anyway, in the sinkhole of the dungeon? They must have done something really bad.
Who's that Jesus you men sing about?
Well, he is the one who's above all things. At the name of Jesus, let every knee bow. At the name of Jesus, let every knee bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
What's that? Everything's shaking.
There's an earthquake!
An earthquake? We'll all be buried in this prison.
Help us! Someone help us!
Songs in the Dungeon.
Today's story about the young Christian church begins in Antioch of Syria, one of the Roman Empire's largest cities, which lies about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. Paul and his associate Barnabas had recently returned from their missionary adventure in the mountains of Turkey, where they had established a handful of Christian churches. After about a year in Antioch, the Apostle Paul was ready for another adventure for Jesus.
Look at the church here, Barnabas. It's full of life. Jew and Gentile worship together as one. Well, at least most of them.
It hasn't been easy to bring them together.
No.
But it was worth it. I understand that some of these Jews have gone to the churches of Galatia to persuade believers there to become Jews. That's very sad.
I won't allow it. We must go back, Barnabas, and visit the Christians in those cities. We must find out how they're doing.
I'm ready to go back, Paul. You know that.
All right. Let's lay the plans.
You know, Brother Paul, John Mark has really grown a lot as a Christian since our last journey.
No.
I think we should take him along, too.
Mm-mm. No.
He'll stick with us this time. He won't leave.
I can't be sure of that.
Well, I think I can. I am his relative.
We can't chance it, Barnabas. You know how difficult it was the first time. He left us when we needed him most.
But we must encourage and train young men like him. We must not quench his desire to be a missionary.
John Mark shall not go with us.
Holy Scripture says the dispute between them was so sharp that they parted company.
All right, Paul. If you won't change your mind, then I guess I'll have to take him myself.
Very well. I'll miss you, Barnabas. You've been like a brother to me.
Paul, I know that John Mark will be a credit to the Lord. You'll see someday. I'll miss you too, Brother Paul. The Lord bless you.
Go in peace, Brother Barnabas.
Barnabas took the young man, John Mark, and together they sailed for the island of Cyprus to visit the young churches. In later years, Paul and Mark would be missionaries together again. The Bible tells us very little about Barnabas after this, but we know that he continued traveling and building churches in many different places. After Barnabas and Mark left for Cyprus, Paul chose a new partner, an energetic disciple by the name of Silas. Together, Paul and Silas braved the Taurus mountain passes north of Antioch. Paul was now about 50 years old. And together, he and Silas skirted mountain gorges and crossed over roaring rivers. Finally, they came to the town of Derbe at the southeastern end of the Laconian plain. There, they encouraged the faithful believers. Next, the two missionaries walked to Lystra, where the young man Timothy anxiously waited for them.
Oh, Brother Paul, you've come back like you said.
Oh, Timothy. Oh, thank God you're all right. How are your mother and grandmother?
Fine. Where's Barnabas?
Barnabas took John Mark with him to Cyprus. This is my new companion, Silas.
I want to go with you, Paul.
We'll talk it over with the church and your mother. It isn't often we get such good meals, Lois. You're a true mother of Israel, taking such good care of two traveling preachers.
You brought us the good news of Jesus. We'd give you anything.
Oh, then you'd give us your grandson, Timothy?
Yes, yes.
And you, Mother Eunice?
He does want to go with you, Paul. Yet
he's been studying the Holy Scriptures almost night and day, and, well, he's been a strength to not only the church here, but in other towns as well.
He is a son of Israel, but we'll miss him very much. When will you return?
Well, we don't know, Eunice. It could be many years, perhaps.
Perhaps never.
Well, the journeys will be very difficult.
Timothy, my dear son, what do you say?
Mother, you know I want to do everything I can to let others know about our Messiah, Jesus.
You understand, Timothy. There'll be many dangers, perhaps death.
I understand, and I am not afraid. Jesus is more precious to me than life itself.
Dear sisters Lois and Eunice, you've raised a true son of Israel. And I promise you this, he'll be like a son to me. In fact, he's already a son in the faith.
Timothy joined Paul and Silas in their travels. They went to Iconium and Antioch and Pisidia, strengthening the young churches there. Then they faced brand new territory.
Well, Paul, where do we go now?
Ephesus, Silas.
That's a long journey from here.
Well, Timothy, I figure we'll stop at many towns on the way, so it'll take us some time.
First, the three missionaries tramped northward toward the far province of Bithynia. They trudged through many treacherous mountain passes and over summer pastures dotted with black-haired goats, or dusty roads traveled by camel caravans, past lakes and marshes filled with birds of every kind, and through forests where wolves and bandits kept an eye on possible victims. Often they slept in caves or under ledges or propped up against a tree trunk. When they came to wild rivers, they clung to ropes as they struggled to get to the other shore, or they hung on to inflated ox bladders as they fought desperately against the current to get across. It was a journey that wore out the strongest of travelers.
Paul, yeah. We've been wandering about, preaching a little here and there, but where are we actually going?
I wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Lord has told me not to.
So the small band of missionaries turned west. Gradually, the air became warmer. Green trees, fruit trees, and grape vineyards appeared. The smell of the sea tickled Paul's nose, and a smile grew on his face. Soon the missionaries stood above the famous plains of Troy. The sea lay before them. They watched the ships bob up and down in the harbor of Troas, a city on the Aegean Sea, across from Greece. It was in Troas that a vision came to Paul in the night. In his dream, Paul saw a Macedonian stand there, appealing to him and saying,
"Come across to Macedonia and help us."
Also in Troas, a doctor by the name of Luke joined the small band of missionaries. He became a fervent believer in Jesus Christ. Later, he would write the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts, both of which are in the Bible.
"I found a fast ship to take us over to Greece, Paul."
"Oh, excellent, Luke. Where will it dock?"
"Just outside the beautiful city of Philippi. We leave early tomorrow morning." "There's Neapolis ahead, Paul, and just over the mountains is Philippi. In a few more hours, we'll land on the shores of Greece and Europe."
"Greece, and beyond Greece is Rome, and then Spain. The world shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea."
After landing at Neapolis, the four missionaries climbed several thousand feet into the mountains, past gold and silver mines, and then on the Roman highway to Philippi, It was a crowded road.
Ah, there's Philippi, the city of fountains.
Tell me, is there a synagogue here?
I'm afraid not. Very few Jews.
Look at all the pagan temples and idols. I thought Lystra was bad.
You've seen nothing yet, Timothy. No synagogue, Paul.
What?
But there's a small group of believers who meet by the riverside on the Sabbath.
Ah, then that's where we'll start.
Early on Sabbath morning, the missionaries made their way past the city gate to the river. They found a small group of people, mostly women, gathered to worship the Lord.
Peace be with you.
And peace be upon you.
The Lord our God is one Lord.
You are perhaps Jewish rabbis?
Yes, I am. I come from Jerusalem. We're strangers to this city and seek others who worship the Lord.
Oh, you are welcome to join us. There is no synagogue.
Thank you. I'm Paul. These are my friends, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, who's a doctor.
I'm Lydia. Would you speak to us this morning, Rabbi Paul?
Oh, yes, I'd be honored. We've left homes and loved ones and friends to bring you a special message. We've traveled many miles and gone hungry, been persecuted, and we're filled with joy to be able to tell you this morning about the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth.
Paul told them the story of Jesus and how he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. The listeners were thrilled, and on that spot began a brand new Christian group. After the meeting, Lydia came up to Paul.
Sirs, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and I want to be baptized as he was. So do others in my household.
In the stream flowing nearby, the missionaries baptized the first Christians in Philippi. Lydia was a seller of purple cloth and invited the missionaries to stay in her large home. Likely, Lydia's house became the first Christian church in Greece. From there, Paul and his companions went throughout Philippi, telling others about Jesus. Among the crowds was a haggard woman dressed in ragged clothes. Several men led her about on the end of a cord tied to her neck. She often screamed out with a half-human, half-animal sound. When she heard Paul speak about Jesus Christ, she yelled out,
"Hey, everyone! These men are servants of the Most High God. Listen to them, everyone. They will tell you how to be saved."
Poor salvation teller.
These Jews have come to tell us about a new way to eternal happiness.
No, no! These men can tell you how you can be saved. Listen to them, you fools.
These Jews and this fortune teller must have the same God.
Yeah, perhaps Apollo himself.
A God who makes his saved followers wild and dirty like her.
Huh? Paul, we must send her away.
What? She is a pythoness from Delphi or Pytho. A strange force of evil controls her, and men and women pay money to have her peer into their future. In fact, she is a very good fortune teller, I understand. She has several owners who share the profits she brings in.
The woman followed Paul around for several days and interrupted his preaching with her screams. Besides that, Paul felt that the poor woman was seeking to be free from the evil force that controlled her. One day he stopped and faced her.
"I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her, you evil spirit."
What's happening?
The fortune teller. The wild look is gone from her eyes.
She's free from the spirit of Pythus.
That preacher commanded the spirit to leave her.
Thank you, sir. I, too, want to become a follower of your Lord.
Yeah, what's going on here? This is our slave girl.
What's wrong with her? Come on, Pythoness, prophesy.
I cannot. I am free now.
Apollo has left her. The demon is gone.
I mean, she can't prophesy. She can't foretell the future.
Just a worthless slave girl. And these strangers have done it.
Jewish magicians, that's what they are. They teach us against the Roman laws.
Men of Philippi, these Jewish strangers spoil our city. They speak against our gods. Now they have robbed us of one who foretold your future.
Away with them. Jews are not welcome in Philippi.
Away with them.
Fight them before the judges.
Don't let them escape.
The Jewish rebels.
To the court.
Seize them. That's it. Hold them tight.
The mob shoved and dragged Paul and Silas through the streets of Philippi. Soon they had the two missionaries before the judges at the city forum.
What's the matter here? Why have you brought these two men before us?
Your Honor, these two men are Jews, and they've come here to cause trouble.
Oh, what kind of trouble?
Your Honor, they're teaching the people in this Roman city against our laws. They also teach of gods we've never heard about. They are Jews, ones like those the Emperor Claudius recently expelled from Rome.
Yes. Yes, they seem to be troublemakers, all right.
Yeah, away with them!
Don't let them stay in Philippi!
Captain, prepare to beat these Jews with rods. Take off their clothes and tie them to the posts.
Yeah, beat them!
Before Paul could protest and claim Roman citizenship, the officers tore off the clothes from his and Silas' back and tied the two men to the posts.
All right, lay it on them. Don't be kind.
One! Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
The officers struck even harder as the mob yelled in approval. The rods struck backbones, ribs, and shoulders. Paul and Silas quivered with the painful blows which turned their backs into masses of bleeding and bruised flesh.
All right, that's enough. Now throw them into jail until we know what to do with them. Tell the jailer it will be his life for theirs if they escape.
Through the marketplace and to the outskirts of the city, the mob shoved and dragged the two missionaries, their backs burning with pain, their clothes sticking to bleeding wounds. Finally, they arrived at the prison, which was dug out of a mountain. Into a windowless dungeon at the center of the jail, Paul and Silas were shoved. The jailer clamped bars of wood around their ankles. These stocks were chained to the wall. Prisoners shackled in this manner couldn't even stand up.
There. That ought to hold you. You must be some tough criminals for the judge to order this.
We have done nothing against the law.
That's for the judge to decide. And me, I'm going to keep you here until they call for you. My life or yours, they said, if you escape. But as you see, there is no escape.
Soon night came, and the dungeon was in complete darkness. All they could hear was the curses and groans of other prisoners, and perhaps the dripping of water in the damp cell. Paul and Silas could not lie down, for their backs burned with pain. As midnight came, the dungeon grew cold, and the missionaries shivered.
I was just thinking, Silas. You know, I used to throw followers of Jesus into dungeons like this. Now I know how they felt. But I'd rather suffer the pain and prison and know Jesus than be free and not know him.
We can rejoice even here. Yeah. If we're persecuted for the Lord's sake, we can rejoice. He said so.
The God who made both earth and heaven, the seas and everything in them, he is the God who keeps every promise and gives justice to the poor and oppressed and food to the hungry. He frees the prisoners and opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts the burden from those bent down beneath their loads.
Paul and Silas kept singing and praying. The hours passed, and midnight came.
Well, what should we sing now, Paul? It really helps to ease the pain.
Ow! Ooh, what?
My back still stings from that whipping.
Here. Try leaning against me. Perhaps that'll help.
I
can't move much with our feet in these stocks. That's... Ow!
Ooh, that hurts to move.
Can't see a thing in this dungeon either. Would help if we could get a drink of water instead of just having it drip on us.
Hey, you two all right? You've quit singing.
Who would sing where they are anyway, in the sinkhole of the dungeon? They must have done something really bad.
Who's that Jesus you men sing about?
Well, he is the one who is above all things. At the name of Jesus, let every knee bow. At the name of Jesus, let every knee bow. In heaven and in earth, and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father.
Hey, what's that? What's that? What's everything that? Shaking?
It's an earthquake.
We'll all be buried in this prison.
Help us! Someone help us!
We're doomed!
Help!
An earthquake shook the jail. Doors were wrenched from the jams. Pins holding shackles and chains in the wall were loosened and fell out. Within seconds, all the prisoners were freed from their shackles and stocks. And before them, the cell doors had been thrown open by the earthquake. They could run to freedom, yet none of the prisoners fled. Within moments, the jailer came running to the prison.
Guards! Guards, bring the torches! Come quick! The prison doors are open! The chains and shackles are broken! Oh, no. They all must have escaped. I'm as good as dead.
The jailer drew his sword and pointed it at his heart.
I will not die in public at the hands of an executioner. I'll kill myself first.
But out of the dungeon came a reassuring voice.
Sir! Sir, don't harm yourself. We're all here.
What? Quick, soldiers, a light!
Yes. Yes, you are all here, but why?
You could have escaped. But you didn't. Please come with me. Guards, secure the other prisoners. But these two men will be at my house. Sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Soon the jailer cleansed the whipped backs of the two missionaries. Then Paul told him and his family how they could find peace and new life in Jesus. Before the sun arose, the jailer and his family became Christians and were baptized by Paul and Silas. Finally, with the family gathered around them rejoicing, Paul and Silas sat down to eat. But what about the judges? Paul and Silas still had to face them in the morning. Early in the morning, officers from the judges came to the jailer's house. They appeared worried and uneasy.
Sir, the judges send word with us that the two men should be let free. They feel that yesterday's punishment was enough.
Set free? Good. Oh, good. I'll tell them. Oh, here they are now. Paul.
Yes.
Silas. These officers say that you are to go free.
Oh, good, sirs. And we beg you to leave our city immediately and go in peace.
What?
You are free.
Why should we leave your city? Do Roman citizens have no rights in Philippi?
Roman citizens? We didn't know.
I'll tell you officers something to tell your judges. They have publicly beaten us and jailed us without trial. And we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly, huh? Never. Let them come themselves and release us.
We'll tell them. Now, wait here. We'll tell them.
Paul did not want revenge, but he wanted the judges to know that they couldn't mistreat Christians as they had done and get away with it. The Christians deserved fair protection, too.
Well, Paul, here come the judges, and very red-faced, too.
Good men, we have made a terrible mistake. We beg you, do not report this to Rome. We did not know you were Roman citizens.
You must remember not to treat Christians in this city like you have.
We will, sir. But you must understand the anger of the people. So please, sir, we advise you to leave our city. We fear another riot.
We will leave,
but when we're ready. We don't wish to stay where we're not welcome. But before we leave, we must say goodbye to our friends.
Paul and Silas went back to Lydia's house. There they met with the Christians and encouraged them.
Dear friends, Silas and I hate to leave you, but Timothy and Luke will be able to stay with you for a while longer. Treat them well, for they love you. I pray that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will give each of you his fullest blessing and his peace in your hearts and your lives. You can be sure that Silas and I will pray for you often.
Paul and Silas left Philippi, the city of fountains. Behind them, they also left a new Christian church that would grow and be a constant encouragement to Paul. Years later, Paul would write a special letter to this church. Today, you can find that letter in your Bible. It's called Philippians. As you read this letter, I think you will feel how deeply Paul cared for this young church. I think you will also find much that can make your life more joyful and rewarding. Ahead of Paul and Silas lay many other adventures, but they had planted the cross of Christ in Europe, and nothing would be able to hold back the good news of God's love given to the world through Jesus Christ.